Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Duke fans, welcome to episode 4444. DBR Bites of the DBR podcast. I don't know if that works or not.
There's a lot of D's, a lot of B's, and a lot of R's in that statement, Jason.
Yeah, there is. So this is episode 44, DBR Bites episode 44 of the larger world of the DBR podcast. As you know, a Bites episode means comes at you a little bit quicker, not quite as long, because the news that we got today that we have to talk about is news that was not unexpected, as we sort of tipped you off to yesterday when the Brotherhood podcast inadvertently, I think it was inadvertent, I think it was a mistake. They announced that Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster would be Duke's backcourt next year. They essentially spilled the beans on both those guys returning to the Blue Devils. Although, Donald, it is, by the way, I'm Jason. He's Donald. Let's get right into it, man.
Jason, by the way, I'm really tired still from reunion weekend. I shut down three bars. I went 3 for 3 on the night. On the weekend, I should say. And we did 2 shows while I was down there. So, Jason, I'm pretty tired this morning. But you know what? It's good because the news keeps coming and we love reacting to good news.
Exactly. And this is very good news. You know, it's sort of interesting, by the way. I sort of thought that perhaps when Proctor and Foster went on the Brotherhood podcast together, that they would make some kind of announcement or something. They would go, yes, we're here to say, but they didn't. They just sort of like, yeah, we're the backcourt next year, blah, blah, blah.
Ryan Young started it. He was like, hey, we're going to, this is the Brotherhood podcast, and I'm here with next year's backcourt. And it was like, oh, good.
Yeah. Very little hey, pop
I like when you keep, I like when they make announcements brief and they go, like, you know, this is not the Selection Sunday show where they kind of drag on for half an hour and then they release the brackets. No, they just said, here we go. Here's what we're here to see. These two guys are coming back. Let's talk.
Yeah. And I think it's very indicative of what the culture at Duke and what they are trying to emphasize in terms of the fact that, hey, you're returning. That's what you're supposed to do. That's not a big deal. And in fact, they talked, you know, for a little bit about, you know, the connection that you need, the you know, just what it's like at a high level to start over after being a transfer. And both of them were sort of like, I can't imagine. It's they completely dismissed this notion that is all over the college basketball world that you would transfer, that you would go to another school. They were like, why would you want to start over someplace else when you're already here?
I'm going to quote Caleb Foster when they asked him about this. He said, quote, I chose a school. I chose Duke. And I'm 100% committed to that. I can't see myself playing anywhere else. That I thought that was very succinct. And it was also just like, put the notion to bed of any talk about him transferring. It was either, you know, whether he was going pro or whatever, but he basically just told everybody, look, I want to come back. I'm going to be a sophomore. I'm going to be better. You know, he talked about his stress fracture and kind of the timeline for him resuming workouts on the court. And I think it was great that they had the two together because they kind of talked. If you think about it, Jason, Tyrese Proctor was supposed to be in the same class as this freshman class that just finished their first year. So, you know, I think in a way it's really cool that they were together and to kind of say, hey, this is the starting backcourt. And I know we'll talk about other players that might affect that in a second, but I just want to note that that was really cool that they had them both on there to kind of say, this is the united front for next year.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned that Caleb Foster talked about when he'd be back on the court. He specifically said they thought that he'd be all better by June. And he's talked about perhaps going back to LA, back to his hometown to work with his old trainer, to get ready for June. Sometime in June is when the players will all return to campus. They do give them, you know, a month or so off. The players will all return, sometime, I believe it is in June. So we're the second summer semester at Duke is when the entire team typically shows up. They take some classes and they begin doing some of the summer workouts, the summer scrimmages and stuff like that, which is where things really start to come together as a team. I was very intrigued. By the way, worth noting, Tyrese Proctor said he's going to go home for a little bit.
I was going to mention that. He said he's going to go back. And I like that, right? Like they're kind of getting, they didn't have that last year, right? They specifically talked last year, at least in the reference of Tyrese Proctor. He mentioned, he's like, I'm not going back to Australia. I'm not doing Team Australia duty. I'm just going to stay here at Duke and work. But I do think that, inadvertently becomes a grind, right? When you're just in one place at once, it's going to be good for him to kind of go home and all these guys to go home and get a couple weeks to just rest and take their mind off things before they really resume the grind.
Yeah, and Tyree specifically said, I got to get my ass back to the beach.
Yes, he did.
Which I cracked up. And by the way, it's worth noting, you mentioned the Australian national team. This summer is, of course, the Olympics. It certainly sounds like, and from what I've, reading the tea leaves about the Australian national team, Tyrese is not going to be trying out for it. He's not really in the running for it yet. When you look at the experienced NBA guards that they have available for Australia, I mean, Josh Giddey, Dante Exum, Patty Mills, Dyson Daniels, Josh Green. I mean, it just makes sense that a
Ben
guy who
Simmons.
just turned 20, remember, Tyrese Proctor literally just turned 20 2 weeks ago. Happy birthday, Tyrese. That he's not really in the running for the Olympic team, which is, the most senior of the senior national teams. I think that could be in the cards for him sometime in the future, but it's not there yet. And to some extent, Tyrese kind of addressed that by saying, they were talking about what do you need to work on the most? And Tyrese said, I got to get my body right. I got to, he clearly knows he needs to put on a little more weight, build up the muscle even more to be able to compete at the highest levels that he wants to compete at. And the other thing I wanted to mention that, and then I'll let you go a little bit more. Caleb Foster said he needs to bring his voice as a sophomore. He needs to be able to teach the team, teach the freshmen, the incoming guys. He is now one of the experienced players, Caleb Foster is. He said, I got to teach them the little things matter. You cannot slack off for even one play. The physicality and effort at this level are just so much beyond anything you experienced in high school, and that he needs to bring his voice to be a leader. Tyrese Proctor also talked about being a leader for the young guys who are the very, very talented young guys that are coming in. I thought it was a, interesting conversation. Not, I don't think there was anything in it that shocks you, that comes as a huge surprise, but some good self-awareness in these guys about what they want for next year and what they need to work on.
And a similar, we heard that 12 months ago, and the person who was saying that was Tyrese Proctor, right? He was a freshman,
Yeah.
became a sophomore, became a captain, and you would think that should everything, kind of fall the way we expect it to, that Caleb Foster is going to be one of these guys that you consider as a captain and not become one of the captains alongside Tyrese Proctor, who's returning. And so again, he gets to learn from Tyrese Proctor and what it means to make that big leap in a lot of different areas from freshman to sophomore year, but mainly in the area of leadership, vocal leadership, which is something that we obviously all will always need. There's going to be guys who may come in through the portal and what have you, that may have more experience. And you have Ryan Young for that, right? Ryan Young and Jeremy Roach. Again, Jeremy has not announced what he's going to do. And I will say that we got a few people who were asking whether this means that Jeremy Roach is not coming back. That is not certain yet. This does not have anything to do with Jeremy Roach's decision. Roach is going to take his time with the decision. If he decides to come back, that is going to be separate of this. So don't read it in anything more than we know that Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster come back. That does not necessarily mean that Jeremy Roach is gone. But he's going to take his time to make that decision. But I do think the leadership aspect of things, Caleb Foster has a lot of guys he can lean on to get, ask questions, right? He can ask questions of these guys while he still has them. And then when he comes back in the summer, that'll be the time where they get to know the new teammates that are coming in, the old teammates that are returning, and for Caleb Foster to become that leader that he knows he needs to be for this team to be successful next season.
Yeah, look, as long as we're talking about Caleb Foster and this, even though he and Proctor announced this together, we already had time earlier last week where we talked about Tyrese Proctor. I think it is worth getting into Caleb Foster's game a little bit. I'll tell you some of the things that I'm really looking for him to improve next year, to grow as a game. To me, the biggest one is like his usage rate was like only 16% last year. For the most part, Caleb Foster was deferring to the older, more experienced players when it came to the offensive end of the floor. I want to see him turn that up. I mean, because Caleb Foster was a good outside shooter, hit better than, 30%, sorry, 40% of his three pointers. I want to see him turn up the assist rate. I want to see him turn up the scoring, because you cannot tell me that Caleb Foster's usage percentage should be down at 16%. He just needs to be taking more shots for this Duke team. He averaged, just a little over 7.5 points per game last year, playing 25 minutes per game. I would expect Caleb Foster to be closer to 30 minutes per game this season, and I would expect him to be a double-figure scorer. I think that should absolutely happen for a guy of his talent and his abilities. I think he learned a tremendous amount about what it takes to succeed, and I think he will now begin to apply that. I hope that the injury doesn't keep him out, longer than June, and that he's able to really come back and get the summer to really have a launch pad to grow that season. Guy's a big key for next year's Duke team. Outside shooting is going to be a huge factor on next year's Duke team with some of the size that we have on the inside. And I think Caleb Foster could be a major part of that.
Jason, I know I told you this, but I'm not sure if I said this on the last show that we recorded, but I did see Caleb Foster alongside Sean Stewart and Jared McCain while on campus this weekend. He's still on the scooter. He's still in the boot. I think the June timeline is more so not necessarily because anything is any more serious or has regressed, but it's more of a precautionary way to say, hey, look, let's get him completely back to 100% before we even talk about putting him on a basketball court, and we have the time to do that. I don't think this is the June timeline is going to be a setback or anything in any way. Hopefully, everything is progressing nicely, that he's just allowing himself time to get rest. I will say this, Jason, when we talk about the way that the structure is right now, and in looking at our man JJ Jackson had that graph or that graphic on Twitter today. Where he had kind of the time, or not the time, of the scholarships and everybody who's on scholarship next year. Jason, we are going to have a lot of length on this team because the shortest guys on this team are the two guys we just mentioned, Caleb Foster and Tyrese Proctor at
And they're both
6'5".
6'5".
Both 6'5".
I'll go ahead and predict it right now. This Duke team will lead the nation in Ken Pomeroy's height statistic. That we are gonna you're never gonna see a guy shorter than 6'5". On the floor. It's crazy how big this team is going to be. And by the way, it's not just big, it's long. Like every one of these guys has long arms and legs.
Long wingspans, which means again on defense, and that's where I think these two guys got to complement each other. They're both, it's almost like you have a double point guard, a double shooting guard, and on defense, either guy can guard, the guards and basically be the taller than anybody, almost anybody that they face next year. And so I think that's going to be a key because on defense, if we have a lot of length, even with like guys in the middle, Cooper Flagg being 6'9", you have a couple guys that are going to be a little bit taller than that, 6'11", 7 feet. But when we talk about a bunch of guys who have wingspans that are close to 7 feet or over 7 feet, in the case of Maluak, it's closer to 8 feet, with his wingspan. You have a lot of length that guys are going to have to get around. That means that we can A, play defense, but also play it where we're not running around as much because we don't have to cover as much ground. I think that also keeps guys fresh for going back on offense. And I think that's going to be what these guys work out this summer.
Yeah, hey, with that, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. On the other side, we will have a discussion. I feel like we talk about this all the time. Hey, Cooper Flagg's on his way to Duke. Are you aware of that? Over the weekend, we got a glimpse, our first glimpse at Kamen Malawach. We got another dose of Cooper Flagg. High school recruiting stuff. I guess not recruiting. High schoolers about to become Dukies. That's what we'll be talking about after the break. Hey there, Duke fans. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factors, no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-created meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factors' fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So so no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals.
That's right, Jason. And Jason, I can tell you, I just got some meals. They're fantastic. And the great thing is, like you said, 2 minutes. Mindless work. Pop it in the microwave. Do what you need to do. And it's ready to eat. No more cooking. No more cleaning pots and pans. And also, there's a lot of choices with 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. So you'll always have new flavors to explore.
All right. So head to factormeals.com/DukeBB50. Use that code DukeBB50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code DukeBB50 at factormeals.com. Get 50% off your first box, 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Enjoy Factor Meals from the Duke Basketball Roundup. Donald, we're back from the break, and we want to very quickly delve into, there was another very, very important high school all-star game. This was USA versus the world, the Nike Hoop Summit. And the interesting thing about the Hoop Summit, I always think, is that you get to see some guys, some international players who haven't played against any of these high school all-stars at all. And you begin to get a glimpse at some of these international players who many of them end up becoming big time players in the NBA. You could go down a list of all NBA players, international all NBA players who were first exposed to U.S. basketball at the Nike Hoop Summit, including Nikola Jokic. In any event, there were three Dukies on Team USA: Cooper Flagg, Isaiah Evans, and Patrick Ngongba. It is worth noting, even though Patrick Ngongba was able to play in the high school national championships about a week ago, he did not play at all in this game. The word was that he's still fighting through some of the injury problems that he's had. And as a result, they chose not to play him. But the thing that I think a lot of Dukies were looking for, a lot of people were interested in, it was our first look at Kamen Maluach, the 7'2 center who is on his way to Durham. Donald, I guess let's start with Kamen Maluach, who, look, just shot 1 of 6 from the floor. He's a big guy. He's mostly going for dunks and stuff like that, stuff under the basket. He had a total of 3 rebounds. I think he blocked one shot. Yeah, he had one block shot. It wasn't a super impressive performance by him, but these all-star games are really tough for guys who are big men who can't create shots for themselves. Like, if you're a big man and you're able to, like, put the ball on the floor a little bit and create something for yourself, that's one thing in an all-star game. But, you know, these guys had 3 or 4 days maybe of practice, probably not even 3 or 4 days of practice. And it's just tough for a big man to really find a spot for himself. I was impressed with Kamen Maluach's ability to get up and down the floor. His motor looks pretty good. He's clearly a huge physical specimen. You know, I think maybe there's a little bit, tap the brakes a bit on, you know, how great this kid is going to be from day one. It may be a kind of situation where it takes him a little bit of time to adjust to the college game and the physicality of it and such like that. But I'm not super down on the guy by any stretch of the imagination. But it wasn't like the greatest performance from him.
I'm going to say this kind of tongue in cheek, right? You know, all-star games are not the best way to gauge someone's talent. Like you mentioned, guys are coming in from everywhere. They maybe, you said 3 to 4 days of practice, but they really only have like one real practice. The others are kind of like shoot arounds and things like that, where you're not running sets or anything like that. And so it's easy for people to go, oh, this person played terribly, they're going to be a terrible player. Don't do that for an all-star game. Of course, we're going to be hypocritical in just a second when we get to Cooper Flagg, but let's wait for that because Cooper Flagg was great. But also, Jason, like Kamen Maluach, as we've said this entire time, despite the fact we've seen some of his, you know, rare qualities, he's a raw project in a lot of areas, right? Namely on offense. So. And he's going to be, you know, dare I say, a struggle sometimes on offense for him early in the season. On defense, yeah, it's going to be much easier for him because he has a standing reach of 9 feet and 5 inches. Like when he stands and puts his hands in the air, he can almost grab the rim without even getting on his tippy toes. So he has that kind of reach. So if anyone wants to put a shot up within 5 feet, he's going to volleyball swat it to the, you know, up to the top of the rafters at Cameron. So that part is going to be exciting. I think when it comes to these all-star games, it's very hard to really get into a flow. And as you mentioned, especially if you're a big man, because you're not bringing the ball up. You're not, and it's also, you know, it's kind of a glorified scrimmage where people are throwing up shots and they're maybe trying some things that they're not going to do in the flow of an offense when they get to college or, you know, even in the NBA, right? The NBA, you know, guys, they have all defensive guys on the All-Star team, and game teams are scoring in the 200s because that's just how All-Star games are. So I wouldn't read too much into this. Again, we're about to be very hypocritical, or at least I am with the statement, but Kemba Mihalovic is going to be just fine, especially on defense. It's going to be the offense is going to maybe take some time to get used to. But again, once he gets into a flow of an offense and learns the offenses that we're going to do next year, that's where you can actually excel. You may that learning curve will be cut a little bit because of the fact he'll know where to be on the court. And it's a matter about getting into those positions. And again, with the size and talent, he'll be able to make some plays.
Yeah, and he'll be used to his teammates as well. Let's get to Team USA very quickly. As we mentioned, Patrick Ngongwa did not get to play at all. Isaiah Evans didn't play a ton, but when he was in the game, he was pretty good. He was 3 of 4 from the field. The only shot he missed was a three-pointer, although his three-point stroke looks good. It looks solid, even if it hasn't necessarily gone down. But you know, I thought Isaiah Evans looked fine. I'm not sure what you know, what people project out of him. I see a lot of people saying, oh, he's going to be the starting three for Duke next year. Not so sure I'm there yet. In fact, I think it's probably more likely that he's coming off the bench early in the season, especially. And, you know, we need to see what happens between him and Con Knuppel and a couple other guys who are newcomers to the Duke program in terms of who carves out the most minutes. All right, let's get to Cooper Flagg. Like you said, we're about to be hypocritical. It's an all-star game. You can't tell anything. Yeah, you can. You
He's
can
the
tell that Cooper
greatest
Flagg
player
is.
of all time. Let's
Yeah, you can tell Cooper
go.
Flagg is ridiculous. Cooper was 8 of 11 from the field, 1 of 2 on his three pointers. He had 11 rebounds to go with 19 points. He did not block a shot, but once again, he was one of these situations where he's just affecting shots. You see guys looking around like, where's Cooper? I got to make sure I'm not putting up anything. I don't want to be on a poster where Cooper Flagg is chomping on one of my shots. His ability to impact the game in a million little ways. I feel like I'm a broken record, Donald. I've been saying this again and again. It's like nothing I've seen at a high school level. It really is. And I hate that, you know, it feels like hyperbole. I hate that it feels like we're, you know, saying too much, putting too high expectations on him. I've never seen a player at the high school level who does this much on the floor, at every end of the floor, making all of his teammates better. The deflections, the ability to disrupt defensively, the ability to direct the attack offensively, putting his teammates in the right place with his passing, his shot making. My goodness. He had at least 4 or 5 shots that he put up where he was content. Frankly, you know, hey, this is Jason Evans. I'm the guy. I hate the mid-range jumper. I'm going to wave that for Cooper Flagg because his ability to get an open mid-range shot, and by open, I mean he's elevated. He shoots it so high that you can't possibly contest it. Like there could be a guy in his face. For Cooper, he's still open because no one can get in front of that shot. He releases it so high. His ability, he was taking them on the move. These should have been low percentage shots. And the only percentage was whether or not they're going to touch the rim on their way toward touching the bottom of the net. It was outrageous. I know he cannot be that good all the time, but he was crazy good in this game. The Team USA won going away. They won because Cooper Flagg was next level. He lifted his teammates, and I'm salivating for our chance to see him in a Duke uniform because this guy, again, just makes everyone around him better. He makes the game easier for everyone around him, and he makes it way, way harder for the opposing team.
Plus 15 in 25 minutes and 42 seconds of playing, despite having 3 fouls. Jason, when you said that he's one of the best you've ever seen in high school, it just affecting how the game is played. I'm not going to go and say the greatest, right? But there's a handful of guys, right, that he's in company with. He's in company with LeBron James, you know, Kyrie Irving when he was in high school. You know, I got a front row seat to Shane Battier, right? Like that. There's guys that in high school, people were just like, well, that guy's going to be great. And they were. And I think Cooper is well on his way to being that guy. It raises the level of expectations for this. And Jason, there's no better way to say it than the fact that UConn just won a national championship, and the only thing that their fans could think about was trying to get Cooper Flagg to reopen his commitment and try to come to UConn and say, hey, maybe you made a mistake. We really need you next year. No, you don't. You just won two national championships in a row. We'll take them. So I think at the end of the day, what this does is, yeah, the expectations are already going to be high for next year. I don't think these make them higher by how good he's playing on the high school all-star circuit. But what it does, it kind of gives everybody a chance to say, okay, how is this team going to build around him next year, right? We now have the veterans in place. We have, you know, a heralded class who could come in, and all of them can really make some noise about, you know, potential playing time and over the summer. There's going to be a couple pieces potentially added in, you know, in the form of the portal, right? We're actively pursuing a couple of veterans in the portal.
Well, and we're still waiting on a couple decisions.
We're still Sean waiting Stewart, on a couple TJ. Decisions. Right. So
Sean Stewart,
still
TJ
a lot
Power,
of
the big decisions we're waiting on. Yeah.
Yeah. There's still a lot of guys. And again, we may not have, like we mentioned earlier, we may not have the glorified, hey, I'm back, you know,
yeah,
tweet. It could just be a, hey, we haven't heard anything from TJ Power and Sean Stewart and Jeremy Roach probably are coming back. So those things all form this, you know, these puzzle pieces, and the summer is going to be about putting it together, and it's going to be upon the coaching staff and upon these players to really learn how to play with each other. Cooper Flagg can be the greatest player in college basketball next year. It does not mean a thing if he can't play with his teammates and vice versa. That's what this summer is going to be about. Putting those pieces together and say, when everyone's on the floor, everyone knows their role, everyone understands where they need to be, and you do all that prep, and you're still going to need a lot of other things to happen to fall in place for us to really be good and go for a national championship. Luck being one of those things, you know, health being one of those things that are very, very crucial. So, yeah, it's great to see him on the tour doing so well, and I hope that continues, and it just only helps people get more excited for next year.
Speaking of getting excited, the NBA playoffs are about to begin, and we have some exciting news about a couple dookies. I will let you go first with some just stunning, stunning statistics about the next great Duke star in the NBA.
Yeah, we're talking about Paolo Banchero, ladies and gentlemen. Paolo Banchero, if you've not been watching him this year, he was an all-star for the first time. He has had just an amazing year, and it is capped by this. He made a little bit of history with the end of the regular season. At 21 years old, 154 days, Banchero became the youngest player in NBA history to lead his team in a season in scoring, rebounding, and assist. There have only been four players younger than 23 to accomplish the feat. He is not even 21 and a half. And he led Orlando to a 5 seed in the East. They're playing the Cavs in the first round. This is something that I'm sure Magic fans did not think was possible 2 years ago. They lucked into the first pick, and they, you know, I remember all the way up to the draft that year, they're like, it was not going to be Paolo Banchero going number one. He was probably going to go two or three, maybe even four. He ended up going number one because the Magic said, this is our guy, and he has proven them right at every single turn. Congratulations, Paolo. I'm looking forward to watching him in the playoffs and beyond. He, again, as you mentioned, the next Dookie to really carve out a path at a young age to the NBA and excel and thrive. We knew this was possible, but even in our wildest dreams where we knew this was possible, did not imagine that he'd be setting records of this magnitude at such a young age. So congratulations.
I wonder who the youngest player to make a all-NBA team is, because I think there's a real chance. I don't think Paolo makes the first or second, but I think there's a real chance Paolo finds its way onto the third team all-NBA team.
Was that Tatum last year?
Well, but Tatum was, because I'm wondering if Paolo, if he makes it, will be the youngest player to make an all-NBA team.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The youngest is going to be either LeBron James or Kobe Bryant. Both of them were, I think LeBron got all-NBA before when he was like 21. So I think like a second or third year. So I think he's going to be right there. He's going to be right there.
Right.
Sure.
That's my point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be talking about, because I think there's a very real chance that Paolo makes the all-NBA team. I think we'll be able to count on one hand, probably just one or two fingers, the number of players who've done it earlier in their career than Paolo did, which is just amazing.
I will say this. I am looking forward to coming on this show and screaming, that he got snubbed, because I'm sure if he makes third team, it's gonna be, or he's gonna be right there in the cusp. So I'm looking forward. I'm reserving the right to say that he got snubbed if
Yeah.
he does in fact miss this team, because he absolutely deserves it.
It would be a massive snub. If you look at where that Magic franchise was a couple of years ago before he
That's
arrived,
what I'm
I mean,
saying.
come
I think they were
on.
22 and 60.
They were terrible. But
Yeah.
they've been terrible for years and years and years. Like, they hadn't been good in a while. And then he shows up and, like, magically, boom, suddenly this franchise, number
Nice
five
pun.
seed in
Nice
the East,
pun. I don't
come
know if it was
on.
intended, but nice pun. Magically, the Magic become this great team.
Hey, there's one other Dookie in the NBA note I want to make really, really quickly. And that is that Grayson Allen, as the NBA regular season wrapped up, has signed an extension. He was due to be a free agent. The Phoenix Suns said, "Hey, Grayson, we don't want you to be a free agent. How does, I don't know, how does $18.5 million or $17.5 million a year sound to you, Grayson?" And he said, "Yeah, I can live with that." Grayson has signed a 4-year, $70 million contract. Will pay him an average of $17.5 million per season. Look, this is a guy who, I don't want to say was kicking around the NBA, but he was sort of your definition of a journeyman, you know, of a guy who was, sometimes he got some starts, but usually he was like sixth, seventh man for different teams. He finally was given a real chance. There were some injuries and the such that caused him to have a real chance here in Phoenix, and boom. His shooting this season, his 3-point, I think he set a record. I may be wrong about that, but I believe he set a record for highest 3-point percentage in NBA history. I know he led the league in 3-point field goal shooting. He was like 48.5% or something absurd like that. Just an outrageous percentage to be shooting from three, and he shoots on high volume. Clearly, the Phoenix Suns were worried about some other teams scooping him up, and he went, "Nope, I'll stay here. Going to pay me 17 and a half mil. I will stay here."
The best way to describe Grayson Allen's career to this point, until this past year, was that he was a player that was great enough for every other team in the NBA to want him when they wanted to trade somebody to whatever team he was with, right? He was the first person that they thought of
Right.
when there's
He
all
was
these
a
big deep,
classic trade piece, yes.
yeah, classic trade piece he played. He was just great enough for everyone to be like, yeah, Grayson should be in this deal when we acquire this star or whatever. And again, he was involved in that major, what was like a three or four team trade that ended with Dame Lillard ending up on the Bucks, and he ended up in Phoenix. So I'm really glad that he has found a place that wants him, that he wants to be. And it's clear that Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Suns, is really trying to say, hey, look, I want to get some young pieces that'll be here for a long while. And 4 years in NBA terms is still a long while, but he's also going to be making a lot of coin to do so. So, congratulations to him. He's had a really great year. Hopefully, he continues that in the playoffs and beyond. But also, Grayson, remember who appreciated you back in the day. So, if we just needed like a little bit of sponsorship money, like $10, nothing major. DBRpodcast@gmail.com. Holler at us.
Yeah. By the way, I was a little off. I think I said he was at like 48%. He was at 46%, a little over 46% in 3-pointers. Still, the leading percentage of anybody in the NBA, number one guy. By the way, you know who led the NBA in 3-point percentage the past 2 years? It was Luke Kennard, both years. So the NBA's leading 3-point field goal guy, 3 years in a row, former Dukies. We dominate. That's all I can say about that.
Brotherhood strong.
Brotherhood strong. Exactly. That's going to wrap it up for us here on the latest edition of DBR Bites. I'm Jason. He's Donald. We'll be back at you as soon as we get more roster news. It's coming fast. And until then, here's the Duke Band to play us out and take us home.